So we're in this series called Why Church. And I told you there were 10 markers for disciples, and we started like years ago. Months ago, thinking we would get through it in, 10 or 12 weeks. Well, this is week two on marker number 5. But it's hard to, because there's so much, when we get started, it's hard to just kind of say, okay, we're going to skip that part and skip that part, because a lot of times I can mention things and I think you may understand it, but then I think, well, maybe I need to explain it more. And so that's why it's taking so long. And I'm not apologizing. I'm just wanting you to get the steps. There's action steps that you have to take if you're going to be a disciple. It's not something that just comes naturally. We have to work that out. We have to make those choices. We have to take those steps if we're going to see victory in our lives and also in the lives of other people. And that's the hope, that when people begin to see the changes that are taking place in our life, they want to be a part of that. They want what you have. And so that's why we're headed here. Besides that, this is what Christ has asked us to do. And we need to follow him in everything that he's asked us to do. And it's a struggle. I know it is, because I'm walking it out myself. So the things that I'm teaching you are things that I've been through myself and things that I'm still walking out of, okay? It's not like I'm all there, right? Thank you, Sandra. Yeah, thank you for that vote of confidence. And I'll try to get in my message now. I can't look at you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. We started last week talking about overcoming fleshly desires. And so we're going to continue that, but I want to kind of hit on what we hit on last week, because I went through it very quickly. I'm just going to brush by it one more time, just so you get the gist of what we're talking about. So what is fleshly desire? It's something that we know is sin, but we want to participate in it. We continue to act out in that. We continue to practice it, if you will. And so when we're talking about overcoming fleshly desires, we're not talking about overcoming strongholds. We're talking about overcoming these areas in our life where we've enjoyed participating in these sins. And the first thing we need to do is to address the physical. Last week, we had several people who came forward and said, I'm going to start cleaning my house of things that are either unholy or a temptation to me, or could be a temptation to me. How many of you have started that process? Praise the Lord. Good, good. I want to encourage you. Continue to do that. You know, you're making a commitment here or somewhere else, and then you get home, and it's kind of like, well, maybe it's not that big a deal. And I knew I had to preach today, so I got rid of some things last night, right? So you knew I was going to ask you, so some of you started doing some stuff last night. That's okay. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it, okay? So here's the deal. The flesh wars against the spirit. And the spirit wars against the flesh. And you get to decide who's going to win. You get to decide who's going to be victorious. And part of that is you need to clean your house of everything that is not of God, everything that would bring temptation. Someone was sharing with me earlier, well, last week after the message, said, you know, there's a lot of individuals, and I've been in these places, garages, homes, where people have these like Playboy calendars up on their, whatever. And I'm like, man. And so this individual told me, said, you know what I did? I put a picture of my wife, my bride, in her wedding dress in the place of those things. Not that he had them, but that he was like, you know, I'm going to have a demonstration of the ones I look at and just have that as my focal point because she is my bride. I told someone last week, I said, after the message, I said, you know, it. When you're cleaning your house, you need to make sure you don't have any letters or pictures of old ex-girlfriends, okay, or boyfriends. Because if you have those, it's going to cause a spirit of jealousy to rise up in your spouse. You need to get rid of them. You need to get them off of your phone. You need to get them out of your house. You need to get them out. Just get rid of them. You don't need them anymore. Well, they're just good memories. I don't care what kind of memories they are. You just need to get rid of them, okay? It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your spouse. It's not healthy for anyone around you because things are attached to those memories. Things are attached to those pictures. I'm just telling you that that's something you need to do, okay? Also, you need second thing you need to do is remove yourself from bad company. We talked about friends. We talked about family. I didn't mention, and some of you are going to have a hard time separating because you have a soul tie connected with that individual or those individuals. I will speak more on that after I finish this little bit, okay? Maybe in a couple of weeks, I'm going to speak to that. Because we need to break every soul tie that keeps us connected to those individuals, okay? And a matter of fact, I found a couple of weeks ago, last week, there's even, right now, there's scientific evidence of soul ties. I'll share that with you today. Really interesting stuff. It's not just a spiritual thing that I've been preaching for years and not just a spiritual thing that others have been preaching for eons, but it's a scientific thing now. Is it a wonder how God knows that stuff before the science comes out? It's just a wonder. So we need to address these physical issues regarding friends, regarding family. You need to separate yourself from them, not only physically, but even in soul ties. And again, we'll get to that in a couple of weeks. A third thing is to stop visiting places where you found trouble or where trouble found you. You need to find places where there's not any temptation. So, again, Romans 13, I didn't have this again in here, but let us put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Verse 14, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to glorify the desires of the sinful nature. Putting off and putting on. Putting off, putting on. Don't just put off, okay? Don't just take the stuff off, but you need to put on something to take its place. If you put off anger and wrath, animosity, you need to start putting on love. You need to start putting on kindness. You need to start putting on gentleness. If those are things that you're getting rid of, you need to put something to replace it. The opposite of whatever it is that you've taken off, it's what you need to put on. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, this next step is to address the spiritual issues. And some of you may look at me and say, man, that pastor's on wacky weed or something. Because what I'm about to share with you is not something that you're going to hear everywhere. However, most Christians know it. They're just afraid to speak of it. Okay. And so we're going to talk about things, spiritual issues. And how you need to address those things. I'm missing a part somewhere. So what I mean by this, addressing spiritual issues in the home. You need to cleanse your home. And I mentioned this last week. You need to cleanse your home of spiritual things that's connected to those physical objects, okay? So let's just say you've got Playboy material in your home. What do you think would be the spirit that's connected to that? Lust, okay? So you command the spirit of lust to leave your home, because so whoever brought that in brought that spirit in with them. Okay. If you have, some people, so let's just say that you are watching a horror movie and your children start having nightmares. What spirit do you think you brought into your home? Spirit of fear. So you need to remove that spirit from your home. How do you do that? Well, you just, because you're a child of God, you can say in the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, first you need to repent, okay? You need to repent. Ask the Lord, forgive me, Lord, for bringing this pornography into my home. Lord, forgive me for allowing this horror movie to come into my home. I don't want this fear. I don't want this lust in my home anymore. Please forgive me. So now, in the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I command this spirit of fear and I command this spirit of lust or whatever it may be to go to the feet of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Now, you may ask, and I've had this question, why do you send them to the feet of Jesus? I used to send them to the pit. But then I read a passage of scripture that says that all things are going to be put under the feet of Jesus. And I thought, well, I'm going to help him out. I put them at the feet of Jesus. So that's why I put them at the feet of Jesus. And then he can do with them whatever he wants to do with them. Okay? But I don't want them hanging around my house anymore. And so you command them to leave in the name of Jesus. You need to remove every spirit that is connected to the objects that you've removed from your home. Does that sound weird? Okay, good. But you have to do that. We cannot see. I cannot see in the spirit realm. Some people can. Some people can see in the spirit realm. Some people can feel what's going on. There's one lady I know who, if she walks in a room, she smells them. And is able to discern that she may not know what it is, but she knows there's something not right in this room because she smells them. She said they smell horrible, I would imagine. Okay. I sense something's wrong. I ask the Lord, what is it that I'm experiencing that's wrong? So you need to address every spirit that is connected with those objects. The second thing you need to do is there may be some things that are in your home that is not connected to an object. It's something that may have been brought in by someone. Maybe you had a friend over and they were really angry. And then they leave the home and you wonder why there's so much tension in your house. Have you ever experienced that? You wonder, what in the world is going on here? We don't ever fight like this. And now all of a sudden, we've got this animosity going on. Take authority over the spirit of anger and command it to leave in the name of Jesus. You have that power. Since you're a child of God, you have that power. You have that ability. And I'm not saying keep everybody out of your home. Don't just say, nope, you can't come in. You can't come in. I'm not saying that. How are we going to reach the lost if we don't invite them in? Okay? And I'm not saying do that. But I'm just saying when you cleanse your home, or when you invite people in, you may be needing to cleanse your home of the spirits that they brought in. I'll let you know this. Every periodically, I cleanse the church. Okay? I did that this morning. Remember last week I said there's some resistance? Well, every time I feel that, I feel like I need to take care of business. And so I come against the spirits that have caused resistance and other things that the Lord brings to my mind. So when you're going through your home and you're cleansing your home, this is what I did. I go from room to room and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, would you just tell me, show me, bring to my mind what I need to address in this room? Okay? We're in a spiritual warfare. And many of us don't even realize it and recognize it. We just think, man, I'm just having a bad day. But it could be that you're having a demonic attack upon your life, and you need to address those things in your home, in the church, wherever it may be. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 12 says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens." Listen again. Your struggle is not against your neighbor. Your struggle isn't against your spouse. Isn't it against your children? Your struggle, it isn't against the government. Your struggle is against spiritual rulers, against spiritual authorities, against cosmic powers in this darkness, against spiritual evil, against spiritual forces in the heavens. That's who you're battling against. Okay? That's what Scripture says. That's who your battle is against. Your battle is not against your children. Your battle is not against your spouse. Your battle is against the baggage that they carry. Does that make sense? Okay. And so when you're battling them, it's not like you're going to get in their face and start fighting. You can do that in your bedroom, on your knees, and battling for them. And here's what I've discovered. You take it to heart, because I'm thinking it must not just apply to me, okay? So when I'm having a difficult person, do you know any of those? When you have a difficult person, and God just seems to bring them your way, right? It may be that God is trying to identify something in your life rather than their life. He may be trying to show you something, a sin in your own nature that needs to be addressed rather than a sin in their nature. God says, don't judge them, judge yourself. Okay? And so if they're getting under your skin, you need to know why. If they're pushing your buttons, you need to know why they're pushing your buttons, what buttons are being pushed. Okay? So take care of the spiritual issues. Does that make sense? Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's what Scripture says. And you can say, oh, that's a bunch of hoo-la. Or you can take care of business. Okay? So, you need to take care of the business. You need to spiritually remove any presence that doesn't bring joy. Any presence that doesn't bring joy. Peace. He said, that's why you've got to be strengthened in the Lord. That's why it says, be strengthened in the Lord and by the power of his might and by his vast strength. You can't be wimpy when you do these things. Okay? And you can't be fearful. What I would encourage you to do, though, is to put on the full armor of God. Make sure you armor up. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18 says, "For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like anger on your chest, your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." We need to stay alert. We need to armor up. We need to be ready. We need to be as if we're on the front line of an enemy force, and they can be attacking at any time. We need to be alert. We need to be alert. They will sneak in. Listen, you may say, well, how do they get in the church? What if my home is cleansed? I want to ask you this, and I don't know the answer to this. So the Garden of Eden was an idyllic place. It's a God place. It was a wonderful place. How did Satan get in there? Somebody wasn't guarding it. How did he get in there? He came in for the purpose of tempting. But I'm thinking God allowed it. But if there was a place like that, that's perfect, and Satan got in, how much more should I take care of my home? How much should I be aware? And if there's things out of place, shouldn't I take as necessary measures to get it back in place? Okay. So just encouraging you, and I know, you know, again, this may be news to many of you, but you are in a spiritual warfare and you need to address these in the spirit. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Armor up. And once you've done that, and I've kind of gone over this, but I want to repeat it again, replace with the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me say that again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So again, whatever has been removed from your home, you need to replace it with the things of God. Okay? So if there has not been gentleness and there has been just chaos and confusion and fighting, you need to ask the Lord tell the spirits to remove that, to be removed in the name of Jesus, and ask for gentleness, kindness to replace those things. So, are you, everybody still with me? Okay. All right. So that step one was remove the physical. Step two was remove the spiritual. And step three is, we're going to start that today, but we will finish it next week. Step three is you have to battle the flesh. Go to war with the flesh. There's a Greek word for flesh, which means sarx. I'm sorry, which is sarx, and it means the body, the flesh. It means corruption, or it means carnality, or the human nature. Okay, so that same word can be translated in different ways, and when we're in this area, we're talking about the carnal nature. And the first thing you need to do is battle in prayer. Battle in prayer. Scripture says in Philippians 2:13, listen to this, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you knew God wanted you to do something, but your will didn't want to? Well, Lord, I really don't want to give this up because I really like this. So what if you prayed this prayer? Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. I'm willing to be made willing. Because I shared with you last week, and I'll share with you again, that the Lord is not going to change your heart until you're ready for it to be changed. Okay? He will give you the desires of your heart. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is your treasure? Is your treasure in the fleshly things, or your treasure in the spiritual things? Where is your treasure? Scripture says he gives us the desires of our heart. So what we desire, I'm going to ask you this, and you don't have to answer out loud, but you might want to do a heart check. Where are your desires? What does your heart desire? What is your heart after? Now, we know the right answer. God, Jesus. But what when you get down to the very nitty-gritty, what is it that you want out of life? What is it that you want out of life? What we seek after in life is a mirror to what's in the heart. What we seek after in life is a mirror to what's taking place in the heart. She's okay. She'll be fine. Mindy, she's so sweet. If she were crying and yelling and screaming and disrupting, then we would have somebody figure out. But she's okay. Right. She's doing fine. So what we need to do, Scripture says in this passage, he gives us the will and the power to overcome. We need to pray for the will to do it. We also need to pray for the power to do it. If we pray those prayers, you think God will answer those prayers? God, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be made willing. You know, I've had to pray my prayer myself. I'm not willing to go there, but I'm willing for you to make me willing. And do you know he made me willing to do that? He made me willing to desire his plan over my plan. He made me willing to desire his spirit over my flesh. See, the spirit, we know that if we follow the spirit, there are blessings that come with that, eternal blessings. If we follow the spirit, there are things that God wants to give us and impart to us, but there's a something about the flesh that's a temporary pleasure that part of us just wants that. And so the flesh is warring, and we have to determine, is it worth it? Is it worth it? And so if it's not worth it, say, Lord, there's a part of me that enjoys this, but I'm willing to be made willing for this to change in my life. And he will do that for you, and he will change that desire for you. What I would say too is cry out to God for him to allow you to see how ugly, how putrid, how dark the sin is. Ask him to show you the blackness of it. Ask him to show you what this sin is doing to your relationship with others and with him. Ask him to show you what this sin has cost you. Pray to him. Ask him to show you how miserable and how hurt it makes him. I have a friend who used to be a mechanic. He's now working at the Union Gospel Mission. But he said before, after he came to know Christ, he was smoking cigarettes. And he knew the Lord wanted him to quit, but it's just part of the mechanical trade, yes. Anyway, he would go out, take a break, and start smoking. And one day he went out. As he was smoking, the Lord showed him how it grieved him. And it's like, Lord, I don't want to grieve you anymore. And so he put the cigarettes down, walked away. Maybe you can pray and ask the Lord to show you what grief it causes him. And you continue in this pattern of behavior. So the one thing we need to do is battle in prayer. The second thing we need to do in this battle is battle the flesh with Scripture. Sorry. Jesus did. You remember when Jesus was tempted? And he was going out into the wilderness. Scripture says the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And while he was there, Satan tempted him. It's found in Matthew chapter 4. in verse 4, 3, it says, during that time, the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Then in verse 6, if you're the Son of God, jump off this temple, for the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot against a stone. And then every time he was tempted, Jesus used scripture to combat. Bam, bam, bam. It is written. It is written. It is written. And after about three times, Satan just kind of tucked his tail and ran. Okay. Because he had no more power, because he kept trying. Did you know that Satan uses scripture? And he knows scripture. That's what he did for Jesus. Every time he tempted him, Jesus knows this scripture, so I'm going to quote it. But he didn't quote it in context. And so what was going on was this battle was going on between Jesus' flesh. Scripture says there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And when you're tempted, you're going to be tempted in one of those three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. The first one, Jesus was tempted when he said, eat this bread, that was the lust of the flesh. The second one where he says, jump off this temple, that was the pride of life. And the last one where he says, I will give you all if you kneel down and worship me, that's the lust of the eyes. So anytime we're tempted, it's going to be in one of those three areas. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our accomplishments, our possessions, our achievements. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. So this passage tells us where you're going to be tempted are in these three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I want to encourage you, find you a past passage of scripture that addresses the core issue in your life that you are battling. And anytime it comes up, I want you to punch the enemy in the face with this scripture. Bam! 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 There's a passage of scripture, and I'm very familiar with it. It's in James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Why do you think I know that so well? I just chose it. Thought it would be holy to memorize that passage. No. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. I had a problem with anger. And I wanted to overcome that, because it was a horrible thing in my life, and I wanted to overcome it. So I began to quote that passage of scripture. I quoted it 100 times a day at least, sometimes. James 5, 19 and 20, I think. Can't be that one. It's in James 5, though. Y'all can look at it. Anyway, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Did you know what Job said? He said, I have made a covenant, Josiah shared last week about making a vow. And Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a woman to lust after. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Isn't that cool? You know, scripture says that Job was a perfect man, eschewed evil. He kind of ran from evil. It's not said he wasn't tempted, but what he did, he found a way to overcome that. He found a way to overcome. So, when Jesus quoted scripture, the devil went away from him. So here's what I want you to do. Would you begin today? Begin to pray that God will give you the desire, the will, to do his will above your own will. Would you begin praying that? Would you ask the Lord to move in your life and to give you the power to overcome those things? Would you do that in your life? But here's the thing. You're never going to have a power over the enemy. You're never going to have a power over the flesh. You're never going to have a power over the world until you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You can quote scripture all day long, but if you don't have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's not going to have much effect on the enemy. Jesus said, if you want to become a child of God's, you must go to church every week. Is that what he said? If you want to become a child of God, you must give all of your possessions away. If you want to become a child of God, what you have to do is repent of your sin, accept Jesus Christ, invite him to come into your heart and into your life. It's simple. Sometimes it's simple enough for a child to understand, but sometimes it's too simple for an adult to understand. We're taught in Scripture that if we will accept Christ, then he will give us the power to do these things that we cannot do on our own. Father, I come before you today. And Lord, there are some who may need to make some decisions today about how well they want to be ministered to in the flesh and ministered to by the Spirit. If they want to continue to walk in the flesh, if they want to continue to be led by the demonic spirits of this world, or if they're going to put on the armor of God and do battle. Lord, you've not called us to be wimps, you've called us to be champions. And so, Lord, we are champions when we take up our sword and fight. Your word is the sword of the Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray today you would help us to rise up and move in your direction, taking charge of our lives for your name's sake. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you've made a decision today to cleanse your house, not only physically, but spiritually, and you're going to begin taking the authority that God has given you to address these issues. And so let's stand together as we sing.